Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, welcome everybody. Second hour today of Political Coffee, the show where we do our darndest to give you ammunition, if you will, for those of you who are Second Amendment folks like I am, to be able to change your world in a positive way. And you do that by persuading the persuadable. You don't beat people over the head with political arguments. Your job is to lead the horse to water so the horse decides to drink. That's what persuading the persuadable is. And that's what this show is dedicated to doing. We talk about the political issues of the day, hopefully in a way that gives you the ability to have meaningful conversations with people so that they ultimately get to that place in their mind where they go, you know, I just think I need to start doing voting differently and giving my allegiances to different groups and people, thought processes. So this hour, we're going to talk about a couple of things. In the first hour, I asked you the question, should Oregon prisoners be allowed to vote while they're in prison? I say no. It's a bill that's been introduced by a bunch of liberal Democrats in the Oregon Senate. This hour, I want to get into why masks don't work. Why would these two doctors on the 25th of last month come out and say masks don't work? Why would they risk doing that? Well, because it's truth. And then I want to get into the classic liberal doublespeak. Now, Representative Marty Wilde is my state representative. He's a liberal leftist lawyer who happens to serve in the Guard. Good for him. Out of Eugene. And he is the guy who introduced the bill to allow Kate Brown much, much greater ability to come in and temporarily confiscate your property in an emergency. Except that it goes much broader than just your property. And that's where we'll get into the liberal doublespeak. Well, guess what? Well, in the old sayings of Senator Everett Dirksen, I see the light when I feel the heat. Dirksen was a senator from a long time ago. One of the Senate office buildings is named after him. I see the light when I feel the heat. Well, apparently Marty Wilde felt the heat because he's withdrawn the bill. House Bill 2238. That is unconstitutional. But went a lot further. I mean, a lot further than just your property. And we'll get into the doublespeak because this is a classic stuff. And it's misdirection. It always is. It's how they make their arguments that defy logic. Again, by making emotional arguments. After all, it's always for the children. Well, I'm going to tell you one of the things that really is for the children is this great article. It was a KGW story. And let me bring it up on the screen up here. Really is it's a good story. It is not coming up on the screen. Oh, well. It's about Sandy M. Canyon and the fires that we had and how it devastated. So, I mean, 800 homes lost. And that's a lot, folks, if you think about it. A lot of them were kids that were going to school in the Sandy M. Canyon School District. I know the school district well. In fact, they had eight of their own staff that lost their homes in the fires. There's a new fund that helps these kids replace what they lost. Now, this is a good thing. This is a very good thing. And I'll talk a little bit. I've just got to get the story back up on the screen. It's a KGW story, and I'll find it. It's just the right thing to do here. I mean, it just is. And it is an opportunity for you to help some other people. Help these kids, especially, that have lost everything. Computers, you name it. it just loses everything. And it's just a great way to help them out. So it's a new fund that you can contribute to, and I'll get the story up on the break. So masks don't work. Why would these two doctors at Evergreen Family Medicine, why would they do this? Why would they do it now of all times? I mean, what's to be gained by doing this? Well, this is part of their blog post. And these are two doctors, Tim Powell and John Powell. They're both medical doctors. And they conclude their article by saying, "We wish masks worked. We wish we didn't have to fight about them. But they don't. And we do." So they're making the case that masks don't work. Okay, so you got Fauci out there saying all the things that he's saying. And we have the mask mandate and all of this. And obviously, the mask mandate didn't make any difference in the explosion of COVID, not just across the country, but here in Oregon. It was the same. And I just referenced this other chart about how non-mask, mask, the infection rates were lower in the non-mask mandate states than the ones with mask mandates. But they mirrored each other. They were just lower in the states that gave you the choice, more freedom. So they start this thing off by saying, "We have purposefully avoided directly confronting the issue of masks because it's such an emotional and political issue." Yes, it is. They go on to say, "Like waving a red flag in front of a bull, the topic elicits strong emotions, which overwhelms reasons. We wear a mask in the hospital and don an N95 mask, gown, and gloves when we see a patient known to have COVID-19. Masks are used for what's called source control when patients are admitted with various types of infectious respiratory diseases. After the visit, we dispense with gown, gloves, and change into our regular surgical mask to continue patient rounds. In public, we wear a cloth mask to comply with executive orders and as a courtesy to others who feel afraid and uncomfortable." Now, that's a key here, isn't it, friends? You know this. People have, if you are like me and you don't wear a mask, and I don't, I will put on a baseball cap with a clear see-through face shield. I've not been confronted about that, but times where I wasn't even doing that, I got confronted by people who feel afraid. And we've seen the videos of these idiots harassing people who choose not to wear a mask. It's an emotional thing. And we do it because we just don't want to put up with the hassle of constantly having conflict with people that are feeling afraid because they believe masks work. Remember when we did the protest at Winco? Well, there was a group counter-protesting us who said masks work. They save lives. The data says otherwise. And yet doctors will argue that they do. They say, "In truth, we wish masks worked." This is what they continue with. "If they did, it would be a cheap and easy way to control the spread of COVID. The idea that they protect not only their wearer, but also those people around them seems noble. We wish masks worked because citizens are spending billions of dollars on them." Now, this is the tiny amount of money that we are spending on masks. By the way, and I'm adding this as a postscript to this, doesn't even come close to the amount of money that is being spent by us, the taxpayers, through the federal government to deal with this COVID business, including vaccines. They continue by saying, "We wish masks work because most Americans wear them now. Telling them it was unnecessary will not make them happy. We wish mass, and this is true. This is why government, you see, government now has forced us to wear masks by their regulatory power through the bureaucracies, shutting down businesses that don't make you wear a mask, fining them, right? We've gone over that. Can you imagine what it would be like for government to turn around like they have just done with hydroxychloroquine and say, you know what? It works now. It's okay. You can use hydroxychloroquine with zinc. Most of us would say, well, most of us who are aware that the government has reversed itself, as along with some very prestigious medical organizations like the Journal of Medicine, it says, yeah, now it works okay. We're not happy that we've had to go through all of this. That is a danger to those who believe in tyranny. Those who believe, like these liberal Democrat governors do, and I'm going to include Kate Brown in this, that masks work. Those who believe that their imposition of their rules at will, with no science behind it, I don't care what they say, their science, so-called science, has been over the board. We all know it. And all of this is going to be brought out in the lawsuits that are working their way through the courts. There is no science behind it. The mandates for how far you got to be socially spaced, all of that. The requirements about how many people can be in a room with you or in a building with you has been all over the board. We know that. There's no science behind it. My point is that when we figure out we've been lied to and manipulated, we're not going to be happy campers, nor should we be. That is the danger that liberals who will impose their tyrannical opinions on us at all levels. And this COVID thing is just the beginning, and it is just a test. This is the danger they face by doing what they've done. Is the liberal, tyrannical governors have a worse track record than governors who didn't lock down and don't have mask mandates. This is what runs the risk for them in the future. Because we talk about it, and we're going to present the evidence of it. And then you can share that with other people. Government cannot admit, Kate Brown will never admit, Jay Inslee or Gavin Newsom, that they were wrong about any of this stuff. Because they realize, then you will realize how much you've been lied to and manipulated. And that creates a revolution against their tyranny. Back in a moment at 7:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. By the way, if you want to call in and just talk about yesterday, if you attended the Freedom Celebration, by golly, would love to have your conversation. I will entertain it, of course. Emails. Before we finish talking about the mask thing, the first hour we talked about this bill that's been introduced that would allow felons, while they are incarcerated, Oregon prisoners, to actually vote in prison. So this government employee who works for a government agency here in Oregon says, no, they shouldn't be able to vote. They did a crime, so they should lose their rights like voting. Thank you. Rich, who was there yesterday, I know because I talked with him, says, Jeff, regarding masks, he says, I think I have the right format for a mask to make Dr. Fauci happy and company. Those that pass out will be revived and mask put back on, laugh out loud. So he says, Monday, one mask. Tuesday, two masks. Wednesday, hump day, four masks. Thursday, you put on five masks. And Friday, six masks. Saturday, no mask for all masks. Sunday is just optional. We must never allow people to realize this is all a con, he writes. He also disagrees with voting in prison. After time in jail, maybe depending on the crime, while Oregon law says you can, as a convicted felon, if you've engaged in restitution, you've completed your sentence, you can go ahead and vote. I don't think you should be allowed to vote during prison. And regarding the WinCo protests, he says, while I was across the street and the pro-mask group was there, if you remember, I told you that when I tried to show them the stats on the virus, they just didn't want to look at the Oregon Health Authority stats. And they walked away from me. Odd, isn't it? And then Lee, who was there yesterday, writes me an email, says, you know, the Freedom Party takeaway. When I was in my 20s, I could care less about politics. It wasn't until my third year working for Uncle Sam that I became aware. I was blessed to have a family attend the event, daughters and young veterans, Army, Navy, and a Marine who had just finished their service to America. Not sure what I invited them to, not wanting to do a political thing, but respected me enough that they came. And by the way, I got a chance to meet his kids who were there, and I appreciated that. He continues saying, these young Americans have yet to solidify their political views. This past year hasn't helped. With so much misinformation being tossed at him, I had to be really careful with my dinner speeches. I heard more than twice, I didn't think there would be so many people. They didn't think many appreciated the police and the firefighters and the first responders in the military. My point is this. We older folks must talk to the younger people in a way that interests them. To make the personal choice to take notice of how our freedoms are being removed. They are the future leaders of our country, or the future condemned as others walk over their freedoms. We need more events to combat the misinformation and you to take interest in reaching them. It's a tough job that you should embrace if you truly believe the left is going in the wrong direction. Yeah, Lee, that's right on the money. And I'm glad that they had a good experience and, well, at least felt that they were gaining something in terms of realizing that a lot of people showed up to say thanks to the law enforcement and firefighters and the first responders and our military and certainly our veterans. Yesterday, every veteran received a dinner certificate for a free meal from a number of restaurants as a way of saying thank you to all of the veterans. And we had an awful lot of them in the room. And we're very grateful for their service. Again, thank you. So these two doctors at Evergreen Family Medicine continue. And they say, we wish masks worked, but they don't. And then they say, at least not the cloth and surgical mask you see in the public arena. They litter the landscape and the waterways are difficult for people with disabilities and small children. It promotes a natural germaphobe tendencies. Now get this. It promotes natural germaphobe tendencies and it indoctrinates the young to see their fellow humankind as a sack of germs. There have been many randomized controlled trials and meta-analysis of previous studies that suggest that masks do not work to prevent influenza-like illnesses or respiratory illnesses transmitted by droplets and aerosol particles, like COVID. This knowledge was the basis for the WHO and CDC recommending against the public wearing masks in the spring of 2020. It was repeated by authorities and experts at every level. Let me just say that again. So when you're having this conversation with people, studies and trials over the years were the basis of the WHO and CDC recommending against wearing masks in public in the spring of 2020. Dr. Jerome Adams, who was the Surgeon General at the time, tweeted, "Seriously, people, stop buying masks. They are not effective in preventing the general public from contracting or catching coronavirus." Anthony Fauci told 60 Minutes, "There's no reason to be walking around with a mask." In April, the New England Journal of Medicine wrote, "We know that wearing a mask outside of healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from infection." Well, what changed, they write? It wasn't the science. And then they go in to talk about the gold standard of studies and those kinds of things. And they reference the recent Danish mask study of the general public that was performed in a prospective randomized fashion did not endorse the current majority narrative that masks work and was vigorously criticized and suppressed by some. They note this, a new drug, medical product or procedure would never be approved based on this type of evidence. Logic argues against mask effectiveness. And then we're going to get into the size of that little old droplet, that viral particle. Back in a moment, 7:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Lee writes me an email about masks. He says, "Mask, oh my." He said, "I do my darndest to research all sides and verify the research. When you understand the functionality of different masks, their filtration rates and useful timeline, and research the size of the virus, you can come up with a theory." But let's go back to my first sentence. Who is providing the information? All the masks we see out in the public don't offer the protection from a virus, but do offer a false sense of security, contribute to one's own asthma symptoms. He describes nurse neighbor that refuses to look at information and she just believes whatever the Democrat Party dishes out, he writes. "Lies, lies, lies," he concludes, "to kill off the old that understand the Constitution and confuse the young." That's the point that these doctors are making in this article. They talk about particle size. And then I'm going to get to the phones with Rebecca and Freddie. You guys hang on. I'll be right to you in just a momento. Here's the reality. The size differential between a viral particle or a droplet size that is expelled from the human respiratory tract, they write, compared to the filter size of surgical or cloth mask is substantial. If you read the fine print on most consumer masks, one will likely read a statement such as this, quote, "not intended for medical purposes and has not been tested to reduce the transmission of disease," unquote. And then they get into the August Pew Research, which reported that 85% of Americans said they wore a mask in public all or most of the time. If this is so, now here's the money quote, and if masks are effective, why has the incidence of COVID increased so rapidly? Why is there not a favorable correlation between mask usage and disease transmission in countries and states with different mask policies? If mask and lockdowns work, they write, Why don't they work? And then they get into the UK, France, Spain, Italy, and Sweden. Sweden, of course, has a very low death rate and has the lowest of mask usage. Only 7.7% of the Swedish population wears masks. I mean, it's a stunning visual to look at this, and it's on the policy. My point is this. The reason they're doing this now, coming out as doctors saying masks don't work, they say, why are we poking this tiger, this issue now? Because there's mass hysteria, and many are blind to it, because it's an irrational policy and divisive policy. When unity is required more than ever, because evidence should matter. And they go on and on and on. And they conclude with a whole bunch of more graphs. This is a good resource for you. Because right now, the mask thing ain't going away anytime soon. This is your opportunity to get people to think about it differently by asking thoughtful questions. Do masks really work? Did you know that in states with no mask mandates, they have a lower death rate than we do in Oregon? Why would that be? It's all important. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll start first with Rebecca, and we'll go on to Freddie. Rebecca, did you have a good time yesterday? It was good seeing you there at the event.
Oh, it was wonderful. I learned so much. I heard people talk about their experience in being put in peace work in the military that I've never heard before. I heard discouragement from that one man who said the first time in his career questioning his career.
Rebecca, you're cutting in and out again. Can you move to a different place in the house or something?
Oh, dear.
There, that's better right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So say that again quickly.
I said for the first time, I heard a lot of people talking about their career in the military and work. And then there was one man who spoke about how this whole thing that happened with the continual attacks made him question his career in police work for the first time. And it was very enlightening.
Yeah, it was. And to hear that from a guy who'd been on the force for 25 years, I mean, it really made an impact on me, because it tells me that they don't hear thank you enough.
Well, the reason I called you was because of your mask topic. And I believe that one of the reasons for the masks that it allows criminals to do things without being identified. And it allows people to not understand or know who's actually leading us. Somebody just a few days ago said to me that they believe that the person who's in the Biden office is actually a double. And that would be really easy to pull off with a mask. You don't even have to have an exact match. And I was wondering why sometimes he seems so competent and firm, and other times during the election, he seems so out of it.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I'm a little curious about that. I mean, I've having body doubles, Rebecca, has been a time-honored tradition. Churchill had one. Hitler had one. I mean, this has gone on for a long time, but I'll tell you this. If you look at the two faces of the two Joe Bidens, they are different. And one of them writes with the right hand, and the other one writes with the left hand. Don't you find that interesting?
More than I have.
All right. Rebecca, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. It was great seeing you yesterday, and I appreciated your comments and the open mic time period yesterday about some of the Proud Boys out there that rescued you and kept you safe. Freddie, you were also there yesterday, and you told a powerful story about the young man from the young pilot from Salem who was killed in Vietnam, and it was a good thing. I'm glad you did it.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. I was pretty late in the evening when I got to do it because a lot of people were gone, so not everybody got to hear it. But, you know, one of the things that was really gratifying for me is that I met somebody that was a classmate of his, and I've been looking for a person like that for a long time. Because what I want to do, we went to McNary High School, what I want to do is get his class together and explain to them exactly what happened to Gerald, and maybe we can put a memorial together because he doesn't have any kind of a headstone or anything because his body never came home, and it won't be coming home. So that's what I wanted to do to honor him and honor his family. And remember, Jeff, this man, 21 years old, who was only 2 months into turning 21, he gave up the life he had, and he gave up the life that he could have had. And that is very important to me that I do this for as many of my fellow veterans that I can. It took me 18 months to put that together. But I got all the boys across the United States to contribute to that flew in with the Comancheros. So it's a big deal. And the other thing that I wanted to make, and it really irritates and makes my blood boil, when I hear people talk about Vietnam veteran not being as good because they were drafted, that is absolutely BS. Because two-thirds of the guys that were in Vietnam were drafted. I was one of them. They took an extra year like I did. And we served our country. And I'll tell you, when the boys were down, and our RCO, Major Cleewell, who's now a colonel, said, hey, we got to go get them. We don't have any ammo. And that's a true story. We don't have any ammo. Every hand went up, and they went and they got those boys. And they got those helicopters got shot up pretty bad. But they went and got those guys with no ammo. And you talk about heroes, that's my hero.
Right, and those were drafted. They were absolutely draftees. Yeah.
And Frank Tagano got shot down 3 times in 3 different helicopters in 1 day. In 1 day. My best friend, he lives in Florida.
And tells you a lot.
October in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's the real heroes. That's the real heroes in my book.
Oh, you're right, Freddie. Freddie, thanks. I appreciated you sharing that because you made that point last night when you took the open mic to talk about your experience. And you're right. We have some very, very brave soldiers who were awarded medals who were draftees in Vietnam.
Absolutely.
And the story about the pilot who got shot down on the same day in 3 different helicopters just exemplifies that. It really does. Freddie, thanks, brother.
From Pennsylvania.
I appreciate it.
You know, these were all farm boys. You know, Dick Rose was Dick Rose grew up on a tobacco farm. I grew up on a dairy. These are all farm boys. They're out there doing it. Colonel Torrance, you know, was a very good friend of mine that wrote me a beautiful letter when I ran for office and talked about all of the things that I had volunteered for that I shouldn't have to do that. But in our unit, everybody flew except for the cooks. Our orderly room clerk got shot in the head when he had to go out on a mission. Everybody flew. Everybody. And we had guys that were off flight status, and what they did, they cleaned weapons. They cleaned weapons. They couldn't fly. They were wounded. They cleaned weapons. That's what these guys did day in and day out. And I lived with it.
Thanks, Freddie. Got to go to break. 7:48. Back in a moment. Ron, hang on. Come on and sing my song. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220.
That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. I want to thank ProBioscience for not only being a sponsor of this radio show and this station at KSLM, but for some great products that they make that I use personally. And maybe you should, well, if you can find the same benefits, the relief that I have from pain, from damaged muscles or sore muscles, which the pain stick is just incredible. Or maybe you're like me, sometimes you have a little bit of trouble sleeping. That's where the tincture under my tongue helps me do that. Now, it also, I think, helps with other things, including pain within your body and so forth. But these are all great CBD products that come from only Oregon-grown CBD, because they only use Oregon-grown CBD. It is the highest quality in the country because it has the highest standards. Oregon standards are higher than any other state. And ProBioscience gives you exactly what they say they're giving you on the label. You can have great confidence in that. And if you do buy online, go to pro-bioscience.com. Buy any of their great products, including some products for pets. Pro-bioscience.com. Pro-bioscience.com. You can use a discount code, and we'll extend it for another day here, New Year. We'll have a new discount code for the rest of the month here. But anyway, just enter that in. When you purchase, you get 15% off. Plus, ask them about their loyalty rewards program. And feel better, because it works for me. Can probably work for you. Pro-bioscience.com. Let's go to Ron. Ron, thanks for hanging on through the break. Welcome, brother. How are you today?
Okay. I'm just doing okay. I want to address a couple of real things real quick. Number one, do these people lost their mind in this country? Don't they know if they raise minimum, you're already going to raise fuel prices at least a dollar a gallon between now and July if they push this Paris Accord along? It was funny, it's at $52 a barrel, but yet our price of fuel has gone up 20 or 30 cents a gallon. Number two, if they push minimum wage up in this country, you will kill off about 2 million of the hospitality and the restaurant industry jobs, because what they don't realize, what attracts people to the South or various other places is not just the only good portions, but at the same time, cheap living. You will kill that.
Right. Yeah.
Number three,
you're right,
is the Republican Party in... I don't care, but, you know, we need to get off our duff, get a backbone. If my numbers serve right, we was near 30% of the vote in this state. Now we're back down 26%. That means 4% of the people, just hypothetically, I think it's close to the numbers I'm saying, have left the party to become NAVs, independent, or whatever the heck else, or libertarians. We got to stop beating up on ourselves, and we need to start giving up a solution and forgive and move forward, but unite with a backbone, not worry about allegedly somebody that the president has pardoned and yet was a fundraiser in 2009 or whatever, or 26, he was part of the cabinet and was
right,
Mr.
Right.
Braley. I've been hearing rumors of that nature. I'm just being a conspiracy brother for a moment. You know, I don't like doing that. But they're talking about condemning somebody, but yet we can't unite our people or my state through the party without a message. But we put a foot in the eye, and we're going to let the splinter in one person's eye judge them, but yet don't move the whole log out of their own. And it is
so how do you, I mean,
everybody.
So you're Ron, you're talking about the party uniting. Weren't we united under Trump? I mean, look at the huge number of Republicans that voted for Trump.
Yes, I understand that part, brother, but the problem is this: when I look at my own state, when I'm looking at various things happening. I even use my county that I live in. You know what county I live in. And it's been kicked down the road, and yet we're going to wait to a regular meeting before a major event dealing with our election of our state officials. But yet I see, in my opinion, do what I do within my own state. And yet, besides one person in my party, we do have RNC men and a woman. I don't see them in my front lights being the beacon of light and uniting in my state. And maybe the people, I'm going to get chopped on, but you know something? If you stay silent, you might as well just go ahead and walk into the ovens of Auschwitz. And at the same time, if you don't bring solutions to the table, you can't always be vetching and complaining about why we're not at the point we is, unless you're naming the problem by being a conspirator or Vici, in my case.
You are right about that, Ron. Thanks, brother. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you're so right about that. We got to bring solutions to the table. An interesting piece, by the way, the National Pulse is saying that Facebook has reversed its decision to ban hydroxychloroquine as COVID therapy. Remember how you used to try to put those stories up on your Facebook page and they wouldn't let you do it? I guess they've reversed that now. Oh, how convenient. So also is Eugene Democrat, my state representative, Marty Wilde, who introduced House Bill 2238. This is the one that clarified. No, it didn't. It dramatically expanded Governor Kate Brown's authority to seize any real or personal property after an emergency is declared. Now, how long has her emergency gone on? What if this bill had been passed, could she have gone in and seized our guns? How about some of our vehicles? How about anything related to COVID? Let's say your courthouse athletics or courthouse fitness clubs. You know, John Miller, he's got these five great locations here in Salem. Been fined over $200,000 so far because he's decided to stay open. This would allow her, literally, this thing was so broad, it would allow her the ability to have come in and literally seized his businesses and shut him down. Now, he says, well, it was mischaracterized. What? No, it wasn't mischaracterized. It was the actual language of the law. And he, of course, and this is the liberal doublespeak. In fairness, he says, I think folks have misunderstood exactly what the bill would and would not do. And that he then blames it on profiteering landowners. Well, that's a lot further than landowners. It was guns, it was vehicles, it was other property. And he's decided to pull it back. Why? Because we stood up and yelled at him. It's the right thing to do over something like this. Good for you for having done that. Folks, it's 7:59. Stacey Ann's up next with Good Morning Salem. See you tomorrow. Yeah, oh, yeah.